Important dates in Christian history. 1870. Pope Pius IX proclaims a doctrine of papal infallibility. Though the authority of the Pope had been established for centuries, the teaching that the Pope's teaching is divinely inspired and infallible is a very recent invention. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Dadalant, dant, dant. Another one bites the dust. This is Wretched Radio. Go Googling for G3. You're not going to find it. Go to their website. It doesn't exist. Look for them on social media. All of their accounts have been canceled. Why? G3 experienced a second wave of what can only be considered a sub-ministry-like behavior. Not all of the details have been disclosed to all of us. I have not taken the time or energy to do inside sleuthing. I probably know about the same amount that you do regarding what happened at G3 that has now caused it to be out of business, shut down. This ministry was very impactful. This ministry was doing some very good things. Book publishing, conferences for pastors, not to mention the major G3 conference. I think the last one was at 7,000 people to something like a just massive conference. And it was a force for good coming out of that pulpit until it was discovered that the CEO, not sure that was his title, was besmirching. Yes, I said besmirching people on the internet by using pseudonyms instead of saying, this is who I am and this is my critique. He used made-up accounts with made-up names to criticize not just charlatans and false teachers, no, to actually criticize people that spoke at his own conference, to criticize his own elders at the church where he pastored. It was breathtaking. It was really breathtaking. And I remember having a comparative feeling to what we're experiencing now with the latest saga of G3 Ministries. I remember at the time thinking, it's just so strange. Like, why didn't you just talk to those guys if you've got an axe to grind? What was your goal with brothers? I mean, men that you shared the platform with, men that you co-labored with at your own church. And I don't know that at the time I was using the word bizarre, but it was in the neighborhood. Well, now the latest breaking story from G3 that has caused it to go completely defunct, in my estimation, is much more bizarre, much more strange. Four elders from Praise Mill Baptist Church, two of whom I'm pretty certain were a part of G3 ministry, because G3 was actually at Praise Mill Baptist Church. They occupied some space there. They decided, for reasons unbeknownst to me, I'd love to know why they chose a pastor. And I'm not going to share this pastor's name because I believe he's been besmirched. I believe that he's been scandalized. And I think that needs to be addressed, and we actually will. They decided to compile what they believed were accusations against him that involved plagiarism. They put this packet together. They shipped it to at least 30 different parties, people in the church, other elders at this pastor's church in Texas, and then to other ministries. And then the story broke that this pastor was being accused anonymously, but it also broke that the people behind these accusations were at G3 Ministries. And it was further discovered that these packets were put together with the return address of the pastor's church in Texas. That's duplicitous. They also then didn't sign it, and they would say that they wanted to remain anonymous because they didn't want to take any heat that would come from this pastor. So apparently they wanted others to take that heat. Tom Askell said it was the most Malakoy thing that he's seen in a long time. I'm not going to share with you what that Greek word means if you don't know. Google it. Tom, it killed me. Malakoy. It was very Malakoy of them to do that. And more than that, apparently they use latex gloves. so that fingerprints wouldn't be left on the packets that they mailed, while one of them was in Texas. The amount of energy and effort that went into this without a single one of them stopping to say, guys, is this really the right thing to be doing? Well, it was discovered they were behind it. And because of that, the intense pressure that I believe was received publicly from this has been one scandal too many for G3, and now they are defunct. They're gone. They're just gone. Disappear. All of that work just vanished. And I would like to address two, maybe more, but two issues from this current saga. Number one, let's talk about the reputation of the man that was scandalized in all of this. I don't want to mention his name. He's a good brother. By the way, he used to serve on the board of G3. He resigned at the last scandal. Why? I don't know. What happened? I don't know. He's a godly man. He's been pastoring for 2-3 decades. Very large church. Great preacher. Faithful man. Delightful brother. He was the one who received these attacks. And these attacks, I think by all reasonable estimations, were wildly exaggerated. I believe what has happened is that the folks at G3, they took 17 of his sermons, they got the transcript, fed it into AI, and said, go find anything that looks like it could have come from a commentary. And it came up with some stuff ranging from, what was one of them that they said, this is clear evidence of plagiarism. It was something like a penny saved is a penny earned. And they found that also in AI found that in a commentary. So see, this man was plagiarizing. Really? He used a colloquialism. He used a slang, a statement that we use commonly, and that's plagiarism. One of them, he shared a joke, and he even said, the story is told. Okay, we all know what that means. He read or heard a joke someplace, and he shared it. Should he have given attribution for that? I didn't think that was a violation of an attribution rule. Now, was there one thing that he said where I thought, yeah, you should have probably given a little bit of an attribution for that? Would I put together a packet and send it out to 30 people accusing him of serial plagiarism? Hardly. Hardly. I suspect all of us have been guilty of that to some degree, because I'm certain this happens. That you read something, you just kind of tuck it away. You didn't put it into your sermon notes, but maybe it comes flying out of your mouth because, well, it's just in there. And in the pulpit, you're not even thinking about like, oh, I read that on page 412 of this commentary that I use. It just happens. So I'm sure everybody has done something like that. Should he have perhaps tightened up a little bit of an attribution on one of the comments that he made? Yeah, yeah. And what happened was, because this was done months ago before the story broke just recently, his church actually addressed it with him. And he said, okay, you know what? I see that. I'll tighten it up. The end. They dealt with it. But apparently that wasn't satisfactory, so G3 sent this packet out to even more people, so that it could become a public thing, which appears to only be for the purpose of besmirching this fellow. And I think it's worth stating, as best I can tell, based on what I've seen, Gabe Hughes, who used to pastor with this man, did an excellent video on it. Go look up Gabe Hughes. Is starting to crush it. I'm telling you, Gabe Hughes, dude, keep it up. I get to speak with Gabe in a few weeks at the White Harvest Conference in Foothills, Georgia. If you want to go Google that. Jimmy, do you know what the address is for that by any chance?
I do not. The website address?
Yeah.
It is whiteharvestmin.com.
Whiteharvestmin.com.
Yep.
Gabe is going to be there. He pastored with this fellow for 3 years. And he knows the guy. He said he's not a plagiarist by any means. And he shares the evidence for that. And so, if you happen to be listening from this fellow's church, do your best to put this behind you. You've got a good man in the pulpit. You do. All this has done is unnecessarily harmed some people, has harmed a man's reputation. has wobbled to a degree a local church. Now, I know they're going to recover. I know they already are. But I think that it needs to be said publicly, these accusations were unwarranted. Now, certainly to go public with them, certainly to label him a serial plagiarist, wildly inaccurate accusation, wildly inaccurate. And this man's reputation has been harmed, and it shouldn't have been. And the apology that was released, I wish it had stated that clearly. We were wrong in our accusations. Not just we shouldn't have done this way, but that we were just flat out wrong. I wish it had included that. But it didn't, so I want to say it. Those accusations were wrong. This should be a man whose reputation is pristine. This church should not have been dinged like this. So if you know who the man is, pray for him. If you know who the church is, pray for him. If you don't know who the man and the church are, pray for them. Because this is a good local church. And this should never have happened. But I do believe there's at least one more lesson. Next on Wretched Radio.
Be honest, when's the last time you shared the gospel with a stranger? Not posted something online, not liked a Christian meme, but actually opened your mouth and told someone about Jesus. If your stomach tightened just a little bit, you're not alone. Most Christians would rather do almost anything than evangelize. It's terrifying. What if they get mad? What if I say something wrong? What if they ask me a question I can't answer? Our resource, Terrified Too, it exists because Jesus gave us the Great Commission, not the Great Suggestion, and He actually gave us the tools to obey it. And this resource will walk you through how to share the gospel with strangers, even family members, without needing Pepto-Bismol to get through it. You'll still be nervous, that's normal, but you'll also be equipped, and equipped beats terrified every single time. Terrified 2, it is streaming right now for free on Fortis Plus. Download the app right now on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or head to fortisplus.org. Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know, finding Bible teachers you can actually trust, it's not as easy as it used to be. There is a lot of content out there, but not all of it's faithful. That's what Fortis Institute is building. We've brought together a team of fellows, people like Tim Challies, Dr. Jason Lyle, Dr. Andrew Walker, Dr. Greg Gifford, Pastor Brad Bigney, Todd Friel, Dr. John Krotz, Libby Clawson, Dr. Adam Tyson, and they're all committed to teaching the word without apology. These aren't influencers. They're not chasing trends. These are serious teachers doing serious work. And the reason that we've been able to bring voices like this together in one place is because of our gospel partners, men and women just like you who find value in what we're doing at Fortis Institute. And if you appreciate what we're doing and you want to be a part of it, would you consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner? Help us to continue building something that matters. Just go to fortisinstitute.org right now. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel. History is full of kings, and every single one of those kings, well, they're gone now, except one. One king continues to reign, and Exalt the King with Todd Friel is a weekly podcast about that very king. Todd is the pastor of Alpharetta Bible Church, and every single week, he takes a passage of scripture and he preaches it the way it was meant to be preached, until you can see Jesus in all of his beauty and glory. And Todd will be the first to tell you, he's after more than just your attention. He preaches to stir your heart, because a king this glorious deserves to be loved, and a heart that loves him follows him gladly. So come and hear for yourself what happens when the Word of God lifts Christ up where he belongs. Exalt the King with Todd Friel. There's a new episode every week wherever you listen to podcasts or on fortisplus.org.
Books of the Bible. The Apostle Peter wrote to the elect exiles who were facing persecution for the sake of Christ. Peter exhorted them to trust God and to continue living godly lives. He reminds them of their hope in Christ and their high calling. When you want to learn joyful obedience, no matter what your circumstances, look to 1 Peter.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Not a definitive lesson, yet. This is Wretched Radio. Earlier this week on Wretched, in recalling the G3, well, I guess we'll call it what it is, scandal that has just left such a mess, hurt a church, hurt so many people. G3 had a network of churches. I don't know how many hundreds were in that network. Well, they got to take that off of their website now. That's just a hassle. Maybe they were paying dues to be a part of it. I don't know. There were people that were buying their stuff. There were people that were supporting them financially, I'm sure. People that had spent money on tickets and airplane travel. Yikes. A lot of people were hurt in that. And Jimmy and I were noodling. What can we do in light of this recent scandal? What can local churches do to stave this type of thing off? And we came up with a big fat nothing burger. Well, we did. It's like, what do you do with some? And so Providentially was reading an article that was originally published in Church Answers. It was written by Sam Rayner. 5 safeguards your church needs before scandal strikes. Well, how providential is that? And I'm going to share 3 of the 5 that I thought were especially helpful. But simultaneously, let me share this, and you can certainly disagree with this, because this is why I don't think at this moment, at least in my mind, that this solution is definitive. What your church can do to make sure that nobody does anything boneheaded as an elder and brings scandal to the church and to the name of Jesus Christ. I don't think it's definitive yet, because as I was reading through this, and I'm going to share it because I think churches should indeed consider this, there was a part of me that started to go, because I was initially like, good. Some 5.5 things that a church can do to make sure that an elder doesn't go kaboom. But as I'm reading it and trying to learn from it and imagine what it would look like, even at our church, I started to get this sense of, really? Do we have to be doing this? I mean, really? Do we need to start putting ankle bracelets on pastors to track where they are all the time? I mean, this Rayner article doesn't go that far, but it's in that neighborhood. And I'm wondering, wow, because, okay, for instance, just consider G3. I know their theological training. I know where they went to SEM. They were ordained. There were other elders. Like, aren't those safeguards? They've got wives. Aren't those safeguards? Do we really need to be like tracking pastors to know where they're at all day so that they don't do something stupid? I just felt a little heavy-hearted about it. And so I'm going to share these because I think that every church should consider it. But simultaneously, I do think that we need to weigh these things and ask the question, should it be this way? I mean, just because we've got some of these breaking stories, do we want to like put these sorts of programs on our pastors? I think that's worth noodling and considering. Received an email from somebody who said, well, here's the problem with y'all, why you've got all of these scandals, which implied to me that he is not evangelical. When you say, you people are having your scandals, and it's like, well, hold the phone. And his encouragement was that there should be denominationalism. That'll stave it off. And I thought, no, it doesn't. It doesn't stave it off. In fact, I was just reading in the North American Anglican Church. I think that's what they go. It's the break-off Episcopalians in America. I was so thrilled about it because Anglicans, they are indeed Orthodox, at least on paper. And this was a group that when the Episcopalian denomination and the Anglican Communion, they're going progressively liberal, they said, we're out. And I think there's about 1,000 churches in that group. Awesome. All right, they're a denomination. They just had to discipline a guy who apparently wasn't behaving very pastorally and boot him. Okay, so it doesn't save it. Furthermore, let's just, if you will, consider the Roman Catholic Church. Can there be more hierarchy than the Roman Catholic Church? I mean, they probably outdo Presbyterians when it comes to our hierarchy. And yet, how many thousands of priests have been busy molesting boys? It doesn't stave it off. So even Presbyterians, they have Presbyterians I truly admire the levels of government that they have. But they have stuff going on. They got rogues in there. Nobody's immune from this thing. So as I share this, I'm just simultaneously wondering, we want to be careful we don't overreact. I think that's the word. We don't want to overreact in this moment. And yet I do think that we still need to wrestle with it. I'm not settled on this yet. I don't know what should be done. And every church will have to decide that from themselves. What will we do at Alpha at a Bible Church? The answer is, I don't know. Because this is new for us to this degree and to this extreme. Here are the 3 points that I thought were worthwhile. He writes, first of all, a preamble. There are warning signs churches should never ignore. When accountability is external but limited. When leaders avoid accountability. When secrecy becomes the culture. The ground is already shifting beneath the ministry. Add in secret governing documents, vague public statements, double standards for top leaders, internal investigations of wrongdoing and multiple accusations from multiple sources, and the pattern becomes difficult to dismiss. So if you see smoke, you do need to pursue it, respectfully. And if you do see double standards, you need to be... The congregation isn't a footstool for the pastor. This is precisely where the congregation comes in to say, hey, brother, pastor, we're seeing some things. Can we talk about this? I don't think they just have that ability. I think that they have that responsibility, and they even have that charge to do that. Now, does that mean preemptive? Well, here are the suggestions that he gave. Church leaders must proactively seek accountability. Set clear standards for every staff member and ministry leader. Put those standards in writing in an employee handbook or personnel manual. Establish practical protections on devices. Make sure every key leader has both internal accountability and an external mentor or trusted friend who can speak honestly into his life. All right, here's two that I think that we should focus on that might help us have clarity. Do we have to do this? Should we do this? The two were that every pastor should have somebody to whom they're accountable. Would any of us disagree with that? I don't think, Jimmy, would you disagree with that?
No, absolutely not.
Primarily, and you don't want to make the wife the police, but in the marriage, you were accountable to one another, right? But what about, it said practical protections on devices. Now, I don't know exactly what Sam Rainer meant. So what does that mean? I don't know. And then and that's where I started to go, wow. My wife, my kids, they can get into my cell phone anytime. Do I want like everybody at church to have that? Well, I guess I don't really want that. It just feels like no, that's not right or necessary. I'll let my wife, let my kids, they can take it anytime they want to and go looking anywhere that they want to. Do I want to have that for, do I want to give that to Jimmy?
Yes.
How would you feel about that?
I'm probably the wrong one to ask that question. I rarely use my phone. I don't like it. And it doesn't matter to me.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's got things in there, medical information.
Right. No, I understand that. Yeah. I get that.
It's like, okay, we'll continue. It's up to your church to sort it. Publish expectations for top leaders where church members can see them. Churches need visible, clear standards for pastors and key leaders. When expectations are public, the church understands what integrity looks like, and leaders understand and trust that trust is earned in that light. I think that's fine. That's good. Right? But isn't that already spelled out for us in 1 Timothy 2 and 3 and Titus 1?
I don't know how to flesh this out, but I was thinking about our conversation earlier this week, and I know we talked about that the plurality of elders should already take care of this. You know, elders are...
But it didn't at Praise Mill.
Well, no, I know. But what I'm saying is that maybe there's a way, because I fully believe we don't do this in the church as a whole, but when elders are... made elders, you know, they're tested and they meet the qualifications. They need to continue meeting those qualifications after.
Well, you know what? Congratulations. That's the next point. Hold regular reviews with all employees, including the lead pastor. Mid-year check-ins, end-of-year reviews should be standard. Now, let's be honest. The guy can lie. Okay, we know. So I think we should seek to do things. I think that there needs to be limits to some of these things, perhaps. It's up to each church to do that. And I think there also needs to be a recognition. A guy can always lie and deceive. You know, there's ways of getting around cell phone or the computer and, you know, hiding stuff. And you can always, hey, have you been looking at any dirty images? No. I mean, how do you know? So I think that ultimately there are going to be limits to what a church can do. I'm not sure that there's anything that is waterproof in this, but I do believe here's where we're at in the moral to this story. Something we need to continue exploring. This is worthy of our efforts. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.